Well, isn't it magnificent to hear the word of the Lord as to why we're celebrating Christmas? And so it's such a special day. I hope that you sense the special day that the 25th of December is and why we're celebrating Christmas, the reason for the season. Jesus was born on Christmas Day. And so we're just so excited. I hope that today has been a very special morning already for you. I'm sure the kids were up very early. I remember when our children were small, it was like 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the morning. And I was just talking to a father here whose kids are still at home. And it's the exact opposite now. He's up early in the morning. They're in their teenage years. He's having to wake them up on Christmas morning. So the whole role reversal thing happening there. Come on, kids, we're going to church. So what a wonderful thing Christmas is. I hope you enjoy. I hope you got a great day planned up. My Christmas night, evening, we go and have a look at all the lights around. There's some spectacular ones. People spend a lot of money and a lot of time so that I can go and enjoy their place, you know. We usually hop in the car. We have a mango weiss bar and off we go and we check out all the lights. You'll find my Christmas trees under the Christmas tree are the ones with all the ripped edging because I go for the long zzz. I try that trick. But either my scissors are too blunt or I don't know the technique, but mine go all the way across. So my presents all have the ripped edges on them. Christmas, it's exciting. You're going to go home and have some lunch or whatever after Christmas. As I said before, some parents like my mum, we couldn't open the presents till later in the afternoon. It was just discipline, discipline, discipline. She's beautiful. But so some of you head for the beach. I don't know what your Christmas is all going to look like and family coming over. But you know what? It's Christmas and the reason for the season, the reason we're doing this is Jesus. So this morning, thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. We'll have them back shortly to lead us in the final carol at the end of the service. We are going to bring, because it falls on a Sunday and our church service is always on a Sunday, we're going to bring our offerings to the Lord, particularly for our church family here today. So let's just pray as our ushers come and just get ready to take up our offering. Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord. What a wonderful day it is, Christmas Day. It's an honour, Lord, to be in the house of the Lord. It's an honour, Lord, for all of us to be here and celebrating with our families in Christmas Day in church. Lord God, it's a wonderful thing. It's an Australian tradition and it's a good tradition for us to do. Father, today we thank you for blessing us and blessing our families. And thank you, God, that you've given us substance and, Lord, jobs and those sort of things. Lord, today we want to bring our thanks, our offering to you. And, Lord, just give you glory and praise in doing so. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you'd like to just take that up, guys. Thanks, Wayne, if you could just take that. My offering. Well, while that's going around, a couple of announcements. So tonight being a Sunday, there's no evening service on tonight. This is the night that you're going to be with your families. There's actually no night services through in this church through to the 22nd of January. So on the 22nd of January, there will be resuming our night services. We just wanted families to spend Sunday nights getting with other families and just enjoying themselves over this holiday period. The New Year's Day service will be here at normal time, 9:30, next Sunday morning. And the children will be in the service. And by the way, if you have young ones and they're just being a little bit normal and being a little bit, friendly and excited and making some noise, we do have a creche and a mother's room. You can feed your bubs. You can just go up the back and through there. You'll be able to see the whole service from in there. And there's an audio feed in there so you can get the whole service. You won't miss anything. The other announcement is if you know somebody that needs something like a food hamper, and, you know, we are blessed. To get in our clothes, hop in a car and drive here, we're blessed. But do you know that on the Gold Coast, there are people in need today? And so we have some hampers up at the back there. They're absolutely free. They're full, packed full of good food and Christmas cake and soft drink. After good food, Christmas cake and soft drink. Chips and pasta, whatever. If you would like to take that back to somebody you know that needs something today, please feel free. They're in a little plastic bag. You can take them as you walk out the door. Please remember to do that. And the last announcement is that straight after the service, there is a brunch. For anybody that does not have a place to go for Christmas or would like to join us for brunch, you can come straight in around into our cafe, our barista cafe, and there will be a lunch put on there. Some people are bringing food. I've already seen it's all set up. There's bonbons. It's going to be a wonderful and festive occasion. I just wonder if Kylie here? Where is she? She's right at the back there, folks. If you're interested, Kylie, just quickly just do a walk around here, just like a modelling thing. Just walk around, and then Kylie will be hosting that. See that lovely lady there? She's wearing red. She just got a brand new red car the other day. God bless her for Christmas. There she is. There she is. The catwalk, and there she goes around the front there. If you'd like to join her for brunch today, that will be out in the barista. Is the coffee's being made out there as well, Kylie? Yes, the cafe's actually opening, so you can get a coffee out there as well. All righty, well, let's go into the Word of the Lord today. Christmas morning, children. I remember when Mum used to take us to... We were Easter and Christmas Christians. Mum and Dad used to take us to church without fail. Easter and Christmas, that's all we ever really thought about God, was on Easter and Christmas. My mum thought about God a lot more than I did, let's put it that way. For me, church, I couldn't wait till church was over. All the good stuff happened after church. Well, you know, maybe you're still feeling like that. You know, all the good stuff. I'm going to make this as exciting as I can for you, because the Word of God is really exciting. There was a day when I never found this very exciting. In fact, I never read it. But there was a day when it came alive to me and I realized the truth that is in this book. It truly is a gift from God to us to explain the way things really are. You know, I mean, where do you learn your stuff? Do you learn it off National Geographic? Do you learn it all from David Attenborough? Where do you get all your information? Where do you learn about life? Look, why don't we go to the source? Let's find out from the Creator what the truth is. And that's why it became so alive to me. I got so excited. So whether you're a young person, even a children, you know, we used to read out the Bible to the kids and get very excited because they make really exciting children's Bibles. Now, my Bible's a big old black one, and there's more writing in there on the notes than there are in the actual pages because it just comes alive. Well, I want to bring it to life today for you on Christmas Day. If you're not normally in church, I want to make this thing as exciting as I can for you so that you say, you know what, there's something. I need to go back and read that book. I'm going to go and read that. There's some great things in there. Not just principles of life, but the whole facts of life and the principles of the universe. So let's set the scene for Christmas Day because it's Christmas. And we see this couple, Joseph and Mary. They weren't married. They were in Nazareth. They were getting ready to marry. They were betrothed, which means they were basically engaged, but with a bit of a deeper sense in those days. And this poor family in a little town of Nazareth, which was later said, can anything good come out of that town? I've been there. I don't like it. It's the sort of place you sort of want to get out of it and go somewhere else. You know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, anyway, Joseph and Mary lived there. Joseph was a carpenter. And then one day, as we heard in the reading, there was a census called. But unlike our census, which you can do online with 100% accuracy, never fail... Thanks, IBM. Or the lady comes to the door, knocks on and says, would you do my census? You had to actually pick up and go back to the place where your ancestors were from. And as it turned out, these guys had to go back to Bethlehem. And it was about 160 kilometres away from Nazareth. So that's from about here to Caloundra, maybe a bit further, or here to Yamba, just this side of Yamba maybe. And of course, they didn't have wheels. They didn't have a brand new red car like Kylie. And they just had to walk. And it took them about 3 days. She was pregnant. It took them a bit longer. They went down on the donkey. And they arrived in Bethlehem. The problem was that all of the hotels and, you know, the Hilton and everything in Bethlehem was all packed out. People had got there before them. And so when they inquired at the inn, there was no room left in the place. And so they had to find other accommodation because she was about to have the baby. And so they found this cave, which is the place they used to keep all the animals. And inside there was a feeding trough. That's where the animals used to eat out, so they cleaned it out, no doubt got a bucket of water and gave it a good scrub, as you would if it was your baby about to be born, filled it with some hay or something, and then the baby was born and put into the hay there in swaddling cloth. No epidurals, very first baby, for mums who know have been through that, you know, that was the experience. So hugely unusual experience for this young couple, Joseph and Mary. Now here's the question I ask myself. Why did God pick these two people to be the mum and dad of Jesus? Jesus, we know from the scriptures, the Son of God. Why did God pick this poor carpenter and this young girl, probably 14, 15 years old, why did he pick this couple from Nazareth to be the birth, she the birth parent, him the more as the adopted father of the Son of God? And so I started to ask myself this question. I started to ask lots of people this question. And I got all sorts of responses. Why do you think Mary was chosen? And people said because she was a good girl. The scripture says that she was a highly favored one. If you were in the Catholic Church today, you would say she was the hallowed one. You know, her real name was Miriam. Mary, we call her, Mary. But why did God pick this girl? Just because she had a real heart for God? Do you know that all the girls, the Jewish girls, wished that they would be the mother of the Messiah? That was even what the scripture says. So why this young girl? So I want to just look at what we know. It's a little bit of a sleuthing Cluedo type investigation here on Christmas Day as to why God picked these two people. And firstly, we want to understand that when we say Jesus Christ, which is, you know, what we refer to Jesus as, we must understand this is not his name as in, you know, Bill Laver, Senior. Welcome, Bill, today. And Bill Laver and Will Laver. It's not like Bill and Will Laver or Caitlin Ferguson, who danced up here before, or Cyril and Linda Nicholson. His name wasn't Jesus Christ as in his parents were Joseph and Mary Christ. We understand that Christ is a term that is used to describe the person. It's like the like a businessman or a mother or a, you know, an electrician or a mayor or a doctor. He was Jesus, really the Christ. But we just say Jesus Christ. The word Christ is a Greek word which means the anointed one, the deliverer, the one that had been promised by God. In fact, the Hebrews would say the Messiah. The one that God promised to solve all the problems of the world. And so he was called, we call him Jesus Christ, but we sort of probably slipped that in pretty quick like Bill Laver. It should be Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, the one that people identified as God's answer to the world. And so who is he really? We call him Jesus Christ. The Jewish people knew a few things about the Messiah from the Bible. So we can know those same things because we've got the same Bible here. Here's some things that the Jewish people knew. One, that there was a need for a Messiah. Now, if you start in the book of Genesis, you will see where the need for a Messiah came in just the third chapter. The Bible says that the first man and woman sinned and walked away from God. And ever since that time, there has been a great problem with mankind. I don't think you have to go too far to realize that. And you'll see it on the news every night, that mankind walked away from God very early. The first two people walked away from God. Now the problem has become unbelievable, and I won't go into all of that because it's Christmas Day, enough to say that the Jewish people recognized that there was a need for a Messiah just by looking around about them with all the war and the conflict and the problems. And so the scripture said that we had a need for a Messiah. The Jewish people could see that there was a need for a Messiah. Two, the Jewish people were expecting the Messiah to come. The scriptures, the prophets had prophesied that the Savior would come, that God would send someone to deliver the people. In fact, I sat down with an 18-year-old girl from New York who had returned to Israel as a student, university student, sat down. She's not a believer in Jesus, but she is a Jew and she is still expecting the Messiah to come. She believes the Messiah will come. Why? Because she's read the Bible. She doesn't believe Jesus is the Messiah, so she's waiting for the Messiah. But they've been expecting the Messiah. And their principle is that I've been a good person, therefore God will bless me. I'll go to heaven. I'll be with God. But that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that won't get you to be with God. It won't restore your relationship with God. What it does say in the Scripture is that the Messiah will do that for you. The Messiah will do it for us. We were expecting the Messiah. And so the Jewish people were expecting the Messiah to come. Three, they knew that the Messiah would come from the line of King David. Here's some clues, you see. Start to do a little bit of research in there and it's like a murder, Hercule Poirot, you know, murder mystery, Lindley murder mysteries. We could make this one the, you know, the Jesus Mystery Club. Who is he? Where's he come from? They knew he would come, but they also knew that he would be of the line of David. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 to 7, if you don't normally read your Bible, remember these scriptures. Those who are looking online, Merry Christmas. I didn't even say good morning and Merry Christmas to you. Wherever you are, traveling, holiday, wherever you are, Merry Christmas. Get your Bibles out and have a look at this scripture. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. This is 700 years before Jesus was born. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So the Jewish people, there's several scriptures like this that indicate that Jesus will come, well, not Jesus, the Messiah will come, but he will be a descendant of King David. Don't you find that a fascinating, interesting fact? The Jews even now know that the Messiah will come down a certain line. It's not going to come from this direction. We're not going to see Obama as the Messiah. We're not going to see, unless they're of the line of David, Jesus can't, if he doesn't come from that line, he can't be the Messiah. What's another thing they knew? They knew that the Messiah would be the Son of God. In Daniel, here's another clue, in Daniel chapter 7, take a note of this, verse 13 and 14. I was watching in the night vision, said the prophet Daniel, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven, he came to the Ancient of Days, which is God. And they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. Even the prophet Daniel, again, 700 years before Jesus, was saying, the Messiah not only will be a man, but he will be God. Wow. It's quite a spectacular set of prophetic words here. Could only be fulfilled very specifically. Like, I can't be the Messiah. I could tell you I am, but I'm not of the line of David and I'm not God. I know some people think I'm both of those, but the fact is I'm not. I'm just here to dispel any rumors. The other thing that the Jewish people knew is that they knew that the Messiah not only was of the line of King David, and he would not only rule over Israel, but he would rule over the whole world. How's that? And so we go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. It's the second part of that one I just said before, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Not only will this Messiah be of the line of David, not only will he be the Son of God, he will also have a kingdom over all peoples. And not only over all peoples, it will last forever. It will go on forever and ever and ever. We need to take notice. We need to start to think about what is the truth of this? Because this implication is for your life and my life. Whether we're churchgoers or not churchgoers, we must understand that the scripture, which has never failed yet, determines that there will be a king over all of us. Now, the Psalm 89 says, I will not lie to David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. So the Jewish people were expecting all of this. They're just waiting. They're waiting like, the slips caught in the previous match against Pakistan, waiting for the catch. They're just waiting there for the catch. The Jewish people were waiting for the catch. They're waiting for the Messiah. Specific things have to be accomplished. So if the Messiah was to be of the royal line of David, then his father and mother would have to be a king of Israel or a queen or princess of Israel. Because like in our monarchy, Queen Elizabeth had Prince Charles. Prince Charles had Prince William. And Prince William had... They're all in the line, aren't they? If something happens to Queen Elizabeth, who will be the king? It won't be anybody else, will it? It'll be Charles. If Charles dies, who will be the king? If William dies, who will be the king? George. Well, it's the same in this line. King David had King Solomon. We can read it there in Matthew, but we'll get to that in a tick. How come, therefore, did God use a poor man, a carpenter from Nazareth, and a little girl, 14, 15 years old? Why did God pick those two people instead of the king of Israel? Well, let's have a look at Matthew chapter 1 and we'll find out something very, very interesting. Matthew chapter 1, I always used to skip through it pretty quickly because it's like one of those, happy Christmas readings, isn't it? It's like a reconciliation of your bank accounts. Who likes reading those on Christmas morning? Well, the genealogy of Jesus reads a bit like that. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Jesus. And so it goes down to King David. We'll skip through. Then it says, David the king begot Solomon. Now from here on, everybody in this line is a king of Israel. From here on, every single person from here on is on the royal bloodline of King David. Rightfully a king of Israel. And so it goes on. Solomon begot Rehoboam, who begot Abijah. They're all kings. Begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. They all sat on the throne of God, of Israel. And then they got taken into captivity in Babylon, and they came back. And then it says, after they were brought from Babylon, it continued. Jeconiah begot Shealtiel. Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot... And it keeps going and going. And here's the kicker. Eliad begot Eleazar. Eleazar, all kings of Israel. Eleazar begot Matan. Matan begot Jacob. And listen, Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. This was not some poor carpenter from Nazareth, even though circumstances in Israel had brought him to a place to be an insignificant, supposedly, person. This was the true king of Israel. Joseph, here, let me change your paradigm for the Christmas story. Joseph, the poor carpenter from Nazareth, was the rightful king of Israel. Now, have a think about God's spectacular moving and shaking and chess maneuvers to make that happen. But we also know, and some of you are saying, but Greg, he wasn't actually the father of Jesus. Because we know that the girl was found with child before they had come and been married. They hadn't had any union. So who's Mary? Does this work? Because he just fell in love with this girl. Joseph just fell like we all fall in love with our girl and become married. But let's have a look over in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 3, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It's another book that we often overlook. Now, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli. It's a different genealogy. It's different altogether. This is the genealogy of Mary. Now, where do you think that goes to? Friend, I'll tell you, it goes all the way back through a different line, but still the bloodline of the King of Israel, from Nathan to King David. This isn't one some poor little girl out in some poor little village in Nazareth. This was the princess in the royal line of King David. How does God do this stuff? It blows me away that he chooses this little couple that look like they're poor carpenter and she's a little girl up there, and they fall in love and they get betrothed and they go on to get married and have other children who, by the way, put this together, are all princes of the kingdom. They're princes of the royal line, princesses of the kingdom of God in Israel. No, these two little people that were living out their life in obscurity, God masterfully put this together so that Jesus was born into the royal household of King David. We're talking about a king and a princess at very least. Maybe now, once they're married, the queen of Israel, the true king and queen of Israel. That is the house that God chose to bring Jesus into. It's all there in the scriptures, just that we often overlook it because it's not really exciting reading. So God returned them providentially to Bethlehem, where King David was actually born at that census that God organized. And he arranged for them to be back there in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, when Jesus was born. Can you see the sovereign hand of God? Where was King David born? Bethlehem. Where was Jesus, the son of David, born? In the household of the King Joseph and the Queen Mary? In Bethlehem. Was he born in a magnificent palace with a golden bib and a golden dummy? And a golden, pram? No, he was born in a feeding trough. But just before that, God went like this. Let me just explain this by my angels, he said. And we read it there before. One of the readings was, there were shepherds out in their field by night watching their sheep give birth to all the baby lambs. And as this happened, the angels appeared and said, "Glory in the highest. Today the king has been born." They're going, "What? What?" Yes, little did they know, little did anyone else know, and little do many of us know that on that night, God sovereignly brought the king and queen of Israel, even though they were living as poor people, down to Bethlehem, and the king, the Messiah of the line of David, the Son of God, birthed not by human activity but by the Father God into Mary's womb. The Messiah was born in exact fulfillment of all the scriptures in the Bible. Isn't that incredible? Let's give the Lord a hand just for his... You know what? I recommend that you don't ever play chess with God. Okay? Don't ever play chess with God. He'll have it all sorted out. Even when you think you're winning, you won't win. Okay? So, but look, I thought about that and I thought, God, that is marvelous and miraculous. The Messiah came. The Messiah was needed. And my challenge to you today is, if you ever feel like you're out of hope and you think, God, what are you doing with my life? Whether you're normally in church, whether you're not, doesn't matter. You're still a human being made in the image of God with a space in your heart for God. You still need the Messiah. You still need to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. That's why he came. There would be no other reason for that. You must make that decision at some time. But whether you are, or whether you're a person that comes to church and loves God but feeling a little discouraged about your life, sometimes the circumstances of our life are all hidden. It confuses the issue. The fact is, the God that can do all of that through Joseph, Mary, Jesus, Bethlehem, he has a special thought for you and a plan for you. Like, there is a reason you're here on this earth. You need to be encouraged that God can take out of obscurity something special. You might be going through difficulty in your marriage, or your children are away at the moment, or there's drugs in the family, there's problems, whatever it is. You might not have a job. You might not. Your business is not doing so well. The bills are. Doesn't matter. Listen, you have a God that can so carefully orchestrate things to bring the best out of them that you can truly trust Him. The whole world won't even know, understand. The shepherds who are the closest to Bethlehem didn't even know what was going on until the angel revealed it. Then they went into Bethlehem and saw the child there, just as the angel had said. You couldn't have got closer to the action than the shepherds. Friend, you could be as close as close and not realize that some victory is about to happen in your life. And it might be the victory of salvation, that God will save you. Today, it might be the day that God reveals to you that you need a Savior. You need a Savior. Well, God bless you. We're going to pray, and then our team, our worship team is going to come, and we're going to close off our service, as we said, at right on the dot, 10 o'clock, and pray that you have an awesome day. But let's just pray, shall we? Worship team is coming on. Look at them come on. Here they come. They're out the back going, wow, that was just the best message that we have ever heard in our life. Yeah. They're just getting their Bibles out and reading, or they're having a coffee. You're praying for me to try and improve. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much for Christmas Day. God, we're so excited about all the family coming together and the meal and the prezzies. God, we are so excited about that. The kids are excited. We're excited. I'm excited, Lord. Father, we pause and remember us on this day. You masterfully brought together a plan that would bring Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, into this world at exactly the right time. Lord God, we can trust in you. Even if everything is bad, we can still trust you. Lord, today I pray for every person here that's lonely, guilty, anyone that's just lost hope. And I pray, God, that you would speak into their life right now. Remind them that you are still their God. You're still God. If they choose to accept Jesus, then you are their personal God that is here to help and bless them in every aspect of their life. But nonetheless, you're still God. So today, Lord, we take heart in the fact you're an amazing God of love and you love us into your kingdom. You don't condemn us into your kingdom. You love us into a place of relationship with the Messiah Jesus. So today, Lord, I pray your blessing over every person. I ask, God, that you keep them safe over this Christmas period. If there's anyone here that wants to give their heart to the Lord, that, God, you would inspire them to go and search it out and give their heart to you, their life, to the Messiah. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. I'll come and close in a minute, but let's stand and we're going to just sing a final.